Welcome to Pixelated episode 98. 98, wow. I'm your host, Will Saddleberg. This week, Damien and Abner join me to discuss our first leaked look at Google's new gradient icons coming to workspace apps. From the tiniest little touches on each of these new looks to what this says about design trends at large, there's a lot to unpack. After all that, we look at Samsung's upcoming Galaxy glasses running Android XR before turning our attention back to Google's leaked Woo competitor and asking, is it finally time for the Fitbit brand to die? At least on the software side. It's all coming up right after this word from our sponsor, Proton. Grab your phone and take a look at your app drawer right now. You've probably found yourself relying on these same old apps and services since the Nexus days, and what suited you best back then might not be the right choice in 2026. Luckily, Proton can help bring you into a privacy-first ecosystem built for our modern age. Proton offers practically every service you could possibly need under the sun across every platform, including email, calendar, file storage, password management, document editors, and of course, a trusted VPN. Built with class-leading end-to-end encryption, Proton's entire suite is fast, intuitive, and secure, and export tools mean you don't need to worry about leaving data behind on those other apps. Pixelated listeners can save 30% off an annual subscription to Proton Unlimited, which includes 500 gigabytes of cloud storage, custom email domains, a dedicated customer support team, and so, so much more. It's what's best for your current phone, not whatever you were using back in 2013. Upgrade to Proton today and save 30% on your annual subscription by heading to proton.me/9to5Google or by clicking the link in the show notes. That's proton.me/9to5Google. Thanks to Proton for sponsoring Pixelated.
So Google's decided that we need a rebrand for a whole host of our favorite applications, Gmail, Calendar, Drive, all of those out there that we know and love. It's a bold, I think it's a bold re-envisioning of what we've kind of come to expect over the past few years.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, sources shared this with us, and I don't know. If you haven't already seen these already, go check these out on the website, because this is it's a big visual aspect of this pod today, sadly. But I'm loving the redesign. I think it's a great idea from an accessibility standpoint from the very get-go, as it were.
So they're finally addressing that big complaint that all the icons look the same. So the previous generation of icons, there was clearly a mandate that everything should include all the four colors. But now we are moving away from that in a significant way. So out of what the dozen or so workspace icons that got a redesign and reshared, the only one that has all the colors is Gmail. And that kind of makes sense. We've seen the new Google Home icon. We've seen Google Maps. Those keep the four color things. That's the Gmail is Gmail. It's Google. Everybody knows that. But that keeps the main, the four color motif. But even then, the good thing is that it's primarily red. Like that is like the takeaway color. And you associate red with Gmail and it works. It absolutely works.
I mean, just look, I'm looking at the icons on my phone right now that what Google has had, what currently have. So we have what, Drive. Sadly, we don't get to see what Find Hub might look like, but I kind of think that's going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. These are mostly like Google Workspace applications and the Workspace suite. In terms of abstract icons, I'm glad that they've gone away from that and they're trying to make things a little bit more, I guess, functional. Would that be the way to describe it, Will? I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you lean into it.
Yeah, to me, it's just... You know, I like these designs, generally speaking, but I don't think Google could have done much that I would have disliked more than the icons these are going to replace. I have always disliked the both, you know, let's make every icon look, you know, roughly the same. Like, for example, docs, sheets, slides are all like the same idea, just blue, green, yellow with different lines or boxes. It's like, and then everything is slapped on a white circle, right? At least on Android. I've never liked it. I've always thought it was really, it looked really boring when they first rolled these out. And in the time since, we have gone through several more iterations of you know, material design and Google's design, in my opinion. And I think, you know, we've talked about it, so I feel pretty confident in saying both of your opinions. Google's design chops have never been better, and I think the icons have always been lacking in that regard. And I'm not in love with these new icons or anything. I'm not like, you know, counting the days till they're on my phone, but I think they're an upgrade. I think they're like, I'm excited for Google to kind of finally lean into unique designs for their icons again, because it's gonna match their aesthetic, their general aesthetic, a lot better.
I think when we look at it as like a product, like the idea of an icon being a minimal thing, I don't know when that became like a style choice. I do kind of like the idea that an icon represents how you would utilize it. So for instance, let's take the docs, sheets and slides redesigns or potential redesigns, because I think they're clearly the most obvious way in which Google is diverting from their, I guess it's, are they, they were from the material era, the sheets.
Yeah, I guess you can say that the icons have never really aligned with whatever the general language is.
Yeah, no. They've always been kind of their own, which again is why I think they stuck out so hard, specifically on Android, right? Like if you're in Gmail on Chrome and you open the app switcher in the top right corner to jump over to Docs or Drive or whatever, like you don't think as much about how because they're not all white circles. It's just a quick menu, but and it matches the aesthetic of a browser. But on Android, it's like, well, you guys have built, like Google has built this, like, you know, first it was Material U and then onto Material 3 Expressive. And it's like both of those designs are really smart and fun and poppy. And all of their app icons are like, here's a calendar. It's a box with a number in it. Like it never felt like a piece together. It always felt like, oh, like Android is one thing. And then I guess you just run Google apps on top of it. And I do think that, like, even just from a home screen perspective, right? Like having Gmail on your home screen now will feel a little bit more in line with the rest of Android.
I mean, it feels like an Apple approach, doesn't it? In that when you pick up an iPhone, every single icon represents it. So people will know what the iMessage logo looks like. They know kind of at a glance about these things. And I do think that bringing that over is a good thing for these individual products, because I guess when we look at it, these are treated as products by Google. You have you have Drive, which is its own storage solution that people are used to. Docs, which is probably superseded. I couldn't even remember the name of it. It's Word, isn't it? Microsoft Word, Excel, and what's the presentation software for called Microsoft? PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
Yeah, like I think Google maybe was trying to skirt a fine line of, we do offer these, and this is a way of them leaning into, okay, you're used to the blue Google Docs icon. It looks like a document. Google Sheets is not a document. It's a spreadsheet in a different way. It looks like a graph. It looks like a kind of I'd call it a minimal graph paper. And then you have slides, which, to be fair, kind of just looks like the interface that you get when you're editing a slide. I think it makes sense to make things look like you would utilize them. And why it's taken this long to do so is beyond me a little bit.
It's so okay. So I'll be the nerd here. I'll do it. this is a course correction from the last decade plus of UI design and icon design, which in the early to mid 2010s was kind of fueled by a nose turning away from skeuomorphism and towards minimal
digital
flat aesthetics. You had your iOS 7s, your Metro, Microsoft's Metro, which they eventually had to drop the name of because of a lawsuit. And I don't know if Android never went like as flat as I think either iOS 7 or Windows 8 was, but like you can see it in these icons that they're very much like, they're uniform, they're flat. You know, Google has added some gradients over the last few years, but largely speaking, they have been these sort of relics of what I would say 2010s design looks like. And this is sort of these are not all the way back to go look at the earliest Android icons or early, you know, back when it was still called iPhone OS icons, right? Like, this is not all the way back towards the YouTube icon on an iPhone being a television, like an old mm-hmm. television. But it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's a healthy balance of modern design with gradients and poppy colors, but at the same time also sort of trying to resemble the either look of an application, as you can see with like slides or sheets, or, you know, compared to docs sort of keeping the original icon that it has had for a while, just freshened up, or the, you know, Meets always, I guess, had a video camera, but it looks a little bit more realistic now. Forms is huge, I think. Like, all of these, I mean, even Calendar, it just looks like it's actually flipping as opposed to just being a box. Mm. You can see it on other platforms, other operating systems too, but this is sort of the current trend of, let's find a middle ground between these two extremes and see if that's sort of the future. You know, maybe that's the next decade of design, and then 2035 will roll around and we'll be tired of this and get something new.
I wonder personally if some of this design is derived from the fact that Gemini needs to be standard apart from all of their icons, say on your home screen or your desktop, whatever it happens to be, because it's almost like Gemini is Google's, it is their premier product, and it started to blend into those other app icons that all have used the four, I guess, is it four colors or five colors in some instances?
Four. Yeah.
It definitely feels as though that's the way. I don't know. Have I read into that wrong, Abner? I don't know how you would read into it.
The common theme, these are all workspace icons, and the ones like Meet and Chat dropping the color. I do wonder if this going solo color is just a workspace specific decision. But that, then again, if you really think about it, workspace makes up most of the apps that people use regularly. But again, like that chat, that Meet dropping the colors is really something. Like, that so much so that why is the Meet icon now yellow? I don't really know why. The chat one, green, Hangouts, that makes sense. But I do wonder if it's just specific, like if Google is just dropping these colors specific to the workspace. But again, we'll have to see what other icons outside of this end up pursuing. But colors aside, I think my favorite change that all Google icons should hopefully adopt is just more unique, distinct icons, shapes. Because Calendar is just delightful. It is going back to the original one that's been present for years. It is flippable. It's just fun. Drive, even. I think that's the starkest one. It's really, I don't know, Drive. It makes sense. It represents Drive. It's clear. So yeah, Google Keep. I like Google Keep. It's a simple icon. But yeah, I think this is a very welcome direction that I hope other Google apps start taking, that just unique shapes will go a long way. And the gradient itself, like the gradient, as Damien was alluding to, adds like a fifth color, most basically. And I think that's going to play out well. So I think our home screens are going to get a bit more fun, and that's such a welcome thing.
I think, I mean, when you look at it from a design perspective as well, I do wonder how much of certain Pixel application icons that have been added recently. So for instance, Screenshots, Journal.
I was just about to say this, Damien. Yeah.
Yeah. These feel like almost, I don't want to say rebuttals, but they kind of feel like
Google's in line.
The journal icon,
you could slap the journal icon in this image we have of the collection of workspace apps. And other than the fact that it's not a workspace app, I wouldn't blink. Like it fits exactly with this design.
So the Pixel on that, we haven't actually talked about that, but so the Pixel icons, their motif is blue. Like that's the overarching, that's the mandate, it's blue. Like we've seen the new Now Playing icon, slight gradient, Watch, My Pixel, Journal, as we said. So yeah, there is a clear motif there that's being enforced. And I mean, Pixel blue. I don't know if I'd associate Pixel with blue, but that's, I guess, the color they've chosen. But So it's good regardless. Like Pixel blue, but then all the messaging icons are also blue. Contacts, messages, phone. So yeah, a bit more to go.
I mean, it definitely screams more of like, as ridiculous as it sounds, because these icons differentiate themselves and, as I say, separate these options and services that you use within Google's product ecosystem. It's kind of, because they are different, it almost screams cohesiveness and we're going to be moving in one direction now, as opposed to why don't we make them all look the same? Because that gives the illusion of we're all working together and these products and services are all under one banner. I don't know. I think we're probably over egging how much of difference this is going to make to people's lives, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of people who complain. Things have changed too much.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that someone who's going to pick up their next Pixel, or they pick up if we ever get to see an Android laptop, these application icons might be there, and you're instantly going to know, okay, that looks like a chat bubble that I'm used to. The Google Voice icon hasn't changed drastically. I think it's kind of a nice middle ground of re-envisioning but keeping things the same so you know it. Docs, sheets, and slides are instantly going to stand out. My only trepidation is that Google Tasks is a checklist. I guess it's a check mark. Are people going to instantly see that straight away?
Yeah, that's absolutely the weakest one.
Beyond that, I think it's... I mean, my beloved Google Keep's getting a new icon, which I love. Anything to keep Google Keep in the limelight is good by me. But I'm fascinated to see if Google starts to roll this out to more applications. But I do genuinely think there's something to learn from this.
Before we move on, let me ask you both this. If you could pick one icon that is not obviously included in this workspace group, so any Google app, what would you want to see redone in this style? What are you looking forward to, I suppose? Let's say the style's coming to everything. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, that's a tough one. That is really tough. I want to see what Google TV does.
That's one of my two big ones. Because TV right now is just a rectangle.
Maybe the phone icon that's on Pixel. I think it's very classic, but I don't mind that. It's a tough one. I'd like to see
Google, for me. I always thought the Pixel needed a better camera icon.
Yeah.
So,
it's photos for me. I've never liked the photos logo. I've never really understood why it's a pinwheel. I don't think there's a good reason beyond, I think it's like some sense of nostalgia, but that's not what I think. But no, I don't think they would go away from the pinwheel icon. As we can, you know, because otherwise I think they might have gotten rid of the light bulb for Google Keep and they kept that as the element. So I'm sure that's sticking, but I don't know. I would love to see Google maybe, and I don't just want it to be a generic like picture of a designed picture of a flower, which I feel like is what the, you know, every other gallery app is, but I'd love to see them actually think about what photos is today and compared to when it launched and how they could remake that.
Okay. So the Chrome icon. You can absolutely imagine what the gradient version of it is going to be. They're just going to remove the boundaries, make it more of a swirl. I don't think they would go away from that. It's just iconic. YouTube music.
Yeah, YouTube music would be a big one. Because it looks like a record, doesn't it? It looks like a vinyl record, but I think a lot of people don't necessarily know that.
That and remove the bloody white border. It's so pointy, perfect circle. I hate it so much.
I'm not in that level of hatred. I think it could be a little bit clearer, but at the end of the day, I don't know how they would do it without just putting a musical note and then just returning the Google Play Music icon, which I think a lot of people really.
It's just silly. It's silly because like Chrome doesn't have a white border on Android, so like why does he like they're both circles? I don't get it.
Yes, I guess they're trying to separate it from YouTube
different
somehow.
Teams, I'm sure too. It's all
yes, that, yeah. But this definitely feels like a very big change to how we're going to see things, and I think for the most part, it's going to be beneficial because that four color. I can understand why Google wanted to have this cohesive four color like icon lineup, but in practice, it just doesn't work. And I imagine from an accessibility standpoint, it's pretty darn awful to have all things looking fairly similar and having a boxy aesthetic with various colors. But yeah, I guess we'll wait to see when this happens. We have no idea when this is going to roll out. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we might get Google getting a big announcement of this, and maybe we'll see some more applications. As I say, we got our fingers crossed, we see a YouTube Music redesign. But there is also, I know that somebody's already made an application iCompact that you can potentially test that out, but I don't think it's quite the same as seeing these in general. It's a bit of a cheap knockoff, but yeah. Let's get into something really cool though, because we've actually managed to see through leaks potentially what Samsung's next Galaxy glasses are going to look like. I mean, we're expecting them to be called Galaxy glasses. They could be called something completely different, but
GG.
These look almost exactly the same as any other Meta or like glasses and smart glasses that we've seen before. Wayfarers, yeah. Samsung logo on the side. I mean, it's by the numbers. I don't know. Is it something that you guys are even interested in terms of like wearables at this point?
Yeah. So this is the stepping stone to this display ones. I do think audio only glasses have a place. But yeah, these are very straightforward by the numbers, honestly. And this kind of really took you guys this long to do this. But I hope the charging case is cool.
Do you know what?
It's not great when that's your take. Is like, I hope the charging case is cool.
What stands out to me straight away is I feel like whether or not these are going to be better than what, and this didn't mean to rhyme, is better than what Meta can do, is that having that huge Samsung logo on the side or a Samsung logo on the side instantly devalues these as a pair of wearables to me, like a pair of glasses. Like Ray-Ban has a prestige. I've worn Ray-Bans for a long time prior to Meta getting involved with them and making a smart glasses option. They have their own privacy issues that I guess we could get into a full podcast series about. But seeing a Samsung logo on a pair of glasses, to me, it just doesn't do it. It does not do it for me. I hope that they have some partners for this.
They do.
I'm sure they'll have someone like Gentle Monster. Yeah,
Warby Parker, I believe, too.
Right.
The Samsung logo stuck out to me too, Damien. I agree with you. And I'm just realizing now it's because every pair of glasses I've ever owned has whatever brand the logo is on the you don't have the logo on the outside of the glasses. You have the logo on the inside. And I understand that Samsung is a wearable, a gadget. But if I were to buy them, they're my glasses. I don't need to walk around everywhere. Like, regardless of what I'm using them for, if I'm even just like, you know, going to the movies, like, I don't want to be like a walking billboard on my face for Samsung. Like, that's ridiculous.
Okay, there's one thing that I will say this potentially, and I just literally just come to my brain right now. I guess that could be good for people's privacy. I.e., you see the Samsung logo, you know there's a camera in the glasses.
I feel like the camera's more obvious.
Do you think the camera's more obvious? I feel like they're not as obvious. Seeing the Meta glasses in person, they're not as obvious as I expected. I think that, especially the clear version, there's a clear pair, isn't it? I don't think you can really tell as much with those because this is obvious. Like, I feel like maybe it's obvious. Oh, this guy's a nerd. He's wearing a pair of Samsung glasses. Like, maybe that might give it away straight away. But I don't know. Do we need these to be obvious, I guess? Like, is there an expectation of privacy in a public space with something that's a camera like this? Or is it?
I think the fact that they're smart glasses needs to be obvious when they're recording. Is what I would say. Like, I know it'll have an LED. I don't think. I don't know. I have very strong feelings about the idea that, you know, I already feel a little bit like public privacy, to your point, Damien, has diminished far beyond what should be expected. I mean, like, I feel like once a month I see a tweet going viral, of somebody just filming two people who are not even like in the center of like a public square or something, just like being like, look at these two people doing this thing that like I'm going to make fun of, even though it's not, you know what I mean? Like,
that is
sort of like it's always been that way online, but I feel like it is very prevalent specifically on Elon Musk's Twitter. Like it is more so than it used to be. And to that point, like these like early smart glasses have developed a reputation. Like there was that viral story, what was like a month ago, about 2 months ago, something like of I think it was a woman on a New York City subway, just like, I think punching and then breaking the glasses of someone who was like trying to stealth record her. So like you know, these companies do have that in mind, I'm sure, which is maybe part of why the logo's there. However, I also just think Samsung probably just wants their logo to be on the glasses because they're they want you to advertise that these are Samsung glasses.
I mean, they look pretty run-of-the-mill, though, don't they? They don't look anything spectacular.
Other than the fact that the temples are a little larger than what you would usually expect. Like, but even then, like compared to some smart glasses, these look pretty, the temples look pretty slim. They are not like immediately like, oh, those are smart glasses the way, you know, even just 2 or 3 years ago, you know, you could always tell.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you guys excited for this? Or do you, I know that you are a little bit like me, Abner, where it's like, this is a stepping stone. Mm. I don't think I want to even bother testing or using a stepping stone day to day. I want to go straight from 0 to 100. I want the LED and the lens straight away. I don't care about a camera and being able to talk to Gemini until I can sensor as well.
I only use Google Glass briefly after its heyday, but point of view, world-facing cameras are truly something to experience. They are so convenient, especially when you're doing something, an activity, that you can just take a picture without taking out your phone. So for me, that is why I will be getting these first generations, even personally, because I just miss that world-facing camera. It's, to me, that's convenient enough. And I think the second use case is using them as Bluetooth headphones, so that you just don't have to put anything in your ear. I'm curious to see what that looks like made full time. Like, you don't have to put anything in your ear. It's just already there all the time. And thirdly, I think Gemini commands will be interesting if they're always there. But yeah, I think those are my three big use cases. And on the camera discussion, I know I've said this before, but I think everybody's just pointing their phones everywhere. People are holding their phones up. You don't know if they're recording. You really don't know if they're recording what you're doing. I think the hump to normalization for glasses is going to minimize. It's going to fall. I just think cameras are everywhere. Like once you really think about it, I'm sure everybody's been recorded hundreds of times a day because people are just holding their phones up. Yeah, and you never know.
But I think that sucks. Like I see what you're saying, but that doesn't mean I need to be like, let's bring more of this on. I'm not saying like ban these or something.
If anything, yeah. Like, what happens if the opposite happens? Like, okay, so these things have a light on it. What if people's familiarity with the light on glasses gets them to be put in phones? Like, I know, like in Japan, they enforce this the camera click sound. What I can definitely see another. Somebody doing that, like enforcing, yes, your phone has to have a light on it when it's recording.
That's what I would like. Like that is my preferred. Like, I think Japan on this policy has this figured out fairly well in terms of at least making it like very obvious when somebody around you is taking a photo of you. And I think if we're entering this world, I would love to see that. You know, if not legislated, then certainly like sort of enforced by the industry. But I don't think the industry is going to enforce it. And it's very little. I don't think Congress has gotten a lot done this term. And I don't think this one will be high on their priority list.
I can see the obvious backlash to it. If not everybody exactly. At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll just buy the other thing.
I don't know. I guess it's a tricky subject. I mean, okay. So putting all of this aside, because there's not like an easy, obvious answer to this. It's just sort of thinking out loud about it. To get back to your question, Damien, of like, am I going to pick these up? I need to be, because, and I know you wear glasses every day too, Abner, but because I am a glasses wearer, I'm a little bit more skeptical about like adopting these because it's not just like replacing a watch. Like with a smartwatch,
you can't take it off.
Yeah. My vision is horrible. It's like 3 feet in front of my face. It's blurry. So, you know, it is important for me I guess what I would say is I would want to see something. I need to see the feature that makes me go, yep, I need these on my face. But I don't take, I'm not a huge photographer. Like
I am a horrible phone photographer. I just don't take my phone out when I'm doing stuff. A world facing camera will make it second nature.
But what am I taking? Like, 90% of the photos I take right now are of my cats. Like, I don't, like, it's just going to make it faster to take photos of my cats. I just, for me, the camera's not, I just don't see spending this money on a slightly more convenient camera that will also not be as high quality as the camera in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't know yet the full specifications for these. I'm intrigued to see what happens with it, but I guess we'll probably find out more information in the next few weeks. By the looks of these leaks happening, it seems that the launch seems pretty imminent. Maybe we'll hear or see something at I/O. I'd like to see Samsung talk about it.
And if not, unpacked for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. But let's get into, let's go back full circle to potential logo rebrands.
Sure.
This ties into Google Health. We've seen a potential new logo rebrand that, I mean, we're saying it might potentially replace a Fitbit application, but tell me a little bit about this, Abner.
So, yeah, a few things. So we know that Google has been teasing a screenless Fitbit tracker. We reported that it is going to be called the Google Fitbit Air. Straightforward enough name. Air is always popular. And it's going to have a Google Health premium subscription. So right now it's called Fitbit Premium, and I assume that means there's a Google Health app, unless Fitbit does like Fitbit app Google Health Premium, that I wouldn't put them. They might do that, of course, but I don't know. I think what we originally reported was that it's clear that Fitbit is staying for the hardware, but it looks like it's going away for the software. And I think we've seen this icon, this heart-shaped icon in the four Google colors plus a gradient. I think it's like there's shades of Google Fit in it. And I think it makes more sense than the Fitbit icon today.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Fitbit icon just is the old LED lights from the original Fitbit, isn't it?
It's supposed to be an arrow. It's supposed to be an arrow. Like the dots.
Well, it's terrible. It doesn't look anything like an arrow.
It's an arrow?
Yeah. Yeah, like the dots on the white are bigger.
Yeah, I see. But this is not like when you notice the arrow in the FedEx logo. This is I guess it's pointing to the right if I squint. But I mean, either way, this is a dated logo that means nothing to most people. And yeah, I agree with you, you know, wholeheartedly, Abner. This is like, this is a no-brainer. Like, replacing Fitbit in the Fitbit branding in software is a no-brainer. There's make this about. I think it's smart to kind of keep it on the, you know, athlete focused side with something like the Fitbit Air, their Whoop competitor that we've talked about. But you know, I think on the software side, if you are making an app that is going to support both Fitbit products but primarily your Pixel watch that you want vast majority of customers to buy, it makes sense to have the software Google focused and Fitbit works with it and not the other way around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, when the acquisition was 2020, wasn't it, for Google for Fitbit, kind of makes sense that they slowly start to phase this into certain software elements to be housed by Google. But am I right in thinking there was some sort of like data contingency plan? Like they had to keep the data for Fitbit owners for a certain period of time.
Something like that. International regulator mandated that, but it's been 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely feels like the perfect opportunity for Google to push this out as like a product to people who are maybe heavily invested in Pixel, still want to use their Fitbit, and maybe we'll potentially get a Pixel Watch or have a family member on Pixel Watch later down the line. But like, does this affect how people view the Fitbit application? Does that get like kind of amalgamated in, or I don't know, like how would it, I guess this is one
people
of the things that Google needs
Fitbit.
To do more better is.
People do love the Fitbit brand, so that it would be the obvious concern I have for this transition. The affinity with Google Health, Google Health is just, I mean, all Google products and services are named this way, Google plus the thing it does, but there is such an affinity for Fitbit that I do hope that they're not shooting themselves in the foot with this, because Google Health, yes, it says what it does, but people love their Fitbits. It's 15 years of Fitbit or whatever. It's
did people love Fitbit? Like I guess Google has sort of, I'm not going to say they mismanaged the brand, but they sort of
didn't do anything to invest in the brand.
It's very Nest-y, where I'm like, I don't even think I understand why you kept this as a separate brand, because
people
it's like,
still
well,
love
yes,
Nest. They have warm feelings for it. Same with Fitbit.
I feel like it is not as they love it in the way they loved the iPod, where it's like, but the iPod's not around anymore, and nobody talks about how the app on your phone on an iPhone is called Music and not iPod, right? Like, I think it's the same idea here, except on an even grander scale, because Fitbit was no iPod. I'm sorry to Fitbit. I think it's sort of, if you keep the Fitbit hardware around, and then they're just like, by the way, this syncs with Google Health. The app is called Google Health now, but it's still, the hardware is still called Fitbit. I think that's enough for people who do love this brand to be like, okay, well, the thing I like is still around. It's just that the software is named differently. And really quick to circle back around, Damien, I looked it up. So the purchase was completed at the beginning of 2020, very start of 2021. And then in September of 2022, they announced that Fitbit users would have to migrate to using Google accounts by 2025. They then extended that to early 2026 as a final extension. So this is like clearly, you know, they've finished the migration as of like 2 months ago. We're now going to get this like rebranded app. I think it like all lines up perfectly.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. And then it does look like, obviously we've talked about it in a previous podcast, we're potentially going to get new hardware. We now know the name of the Whoop competitor. How do we feel? I mean, this looks like it's going to debut with this subscription. This is, what is it? Fitbit Air. How do we feel about that name? Do you think that makes sense? I kind of feel like, I don't know. To me, it feels like an airline.
Like, if this is a Fitbit product and you're not going to name it like Pixel Band or something, then yeah, I think Fitbit Air is totally fine.
Yeah. And this is the first piece of hardware since the Fitbit Ace LTE, right? So first new piece of, which in and of itself is pretty odd, but at the same time, I guess it's a good shot in the arm. No pun intended there, but for like this fitness wearable. I mean, it kind of makes sense that Google would debut two products at the same time and be like, hey, it's still part of the lineup. I don't know. I mean, what do we think about everything else that they're doing with this potential piece of hardware that we've had a very, very brief glimpse at, courtesy of Steph Curry?
I don't think it's a Whoop competitor. I think that's... I don't think Google is competing there. It is not their MO to like target high intensity athletes and stuff. That's not their bread and butter. It's Fitbit is a mainstream thing. I don't think it's properly a Whoop competitor. I just don't. I think Google is competing to the mainstream audience, not that high athlete stuff.
Yeah, but then advertising it with arguably one of the best NBA players is a bit weird, isn't it? But then I guess he's a Pixel ambassador, so the crossovers makes even more, all the more strange.
That's true. I know he uses a fold. I don't think I've ever seen him with a Pixel Watch.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. That's a good point. Maybe that meant that he was the perfect candidate for this, if he's not if he's not willing to wear a smartwatch of any kind.
Which, again, that is an audience. That is an audience, people who will not wear a smartwatch.
Yeah. I think this is a sensible... I think they are at least on some level competing with Whoop. Even, you know, and we'll have to see how it the metrics it can collect, how the entire experience is, how Whoop-esque it is. But at least the design is obviously very Whoop, inspired. And I think if you are looking at the smartwatchless fitness tracker market, right? I mean, you have Garmin at the high end. Those are basically smartwatches. They are smartwatches, but they're not, you know, running Android. At the extreme high end. And then otherwise it's like, yeah, like the Charge 6 is still around for Fitbit, but like usually if people are not buying like a generic insert smartwatch here, regardless of what it is, they are buying a Whoop. Like if they really want to go that direction, I think Whoop is the top not smartwatch fitness tracker right now. So I think it does make sense for Fitbit to be like, okay, this is where the market has shifted. This is where those, you know, the Fitbit enthusiasts you're talking about, Abner, that have nostalgia for this brand, I think they have, a lot of them did move to Whoop, and it's smart for Fitbit and Google to try to get them back.
Yeah, I definitely think this is whether or not it is an actual direct competitor or if it's like a sideways play, because I do genuinely think that this all hinges on the Google Health integration, because I guess that gives you the opportunity to migrate to a smartwatch if you want it. And I do think that is very sensible from Google to do that, because there's no other, I mean, I guess Samsung would be the only obvious brand that would do something similar. But
they have, they do have one, like, but I don't think it's a mass market thing. The thing I would say about the band, and we mentioned the Charge 6 just a bit, but going from a Pixel watch to something like the Charge 6, the feel is drastically different. It's so much more minimal. So, but then again, I'd say that most, when people put something on their wrist, they want it for notifications.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's good that they can experiment with this form factor under the Fitbit branding. It kind of doesn't diminish what they're doing with the Pixel watch. Right. So
that's true.
Because if you had a Pixel band, people are like, why the hell do I need this? I think with Fitbit, they can get away with it more.
A Pixel band would absolutely need notifications. It would need more smart stuff.
Yeah, and so how do you sell it as a non-Wear OS powered product? I think that'd be very, very difficult for Google to do. I mean, I'd be intrigued to see how this works. Is it running on a version of some form of Wear OS somehow? Low energy version or a minimal, like, kind of siloed version of Wear OS? But I guess we'll hopefully find out very, very soon, because it seems as though this information has come thick and fast. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have any extras that you want to talk about with the Fitbit Air, if you have any expectations.
I just want to circle back around really quickly to the binding commitment about keeping user data separate, because I also found this. So they said that to the European Commission in 2020, 10 years is what they said they would not. They would keep Fitbit user data separate from Google systems and not use said data to target Fitbit users within the European Economic Area with advertisers for at least 10 years. I'm quoting from a Verge article from 2022. Maybe they don't launch this in Europe. I don't know. We'll have to see. Or maybe they found a loophole, or maybe they just don't care anymore. They're just going to run with it. But I am curious to see how that shakes out.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how this plays out. I'm excited to see what this piece of hardware is, because like I said, we don't get Fitbit hardware very often. And so any new form of Fitbit is great, as I say, as an alternative to the kind of smartwatches that we're all used to. But yeah, I think on the horizon, IO is coming thick and fast. I'm sure we'll have more information about other things that are happening around Google.
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on at this time of year, which is kind of par for the course. I just want to say thanks for joining me, guys. I always love chatting to you about everything from the weather to Google to everything else in between. And icons has been a big kind of focus point for us today. Cheers for joining us, guys, and hopefully I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Pixelated, a 9-to-5 Google podcast. If you enjoyed the show, we ask that you rate and review it on the podcast platform of your choice, and help spread the word by sharing the show with friends or on social media.